This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
For all voices, this is Joy.
You are with Paul and Fiona here on Saturday Magazine. Macca is taking a well-earned break and is also doing a little bit of work as well on the side. Thank you for the messages coming through this morning. You can join our conversation 0427 569 949 or simply email us onair@joy.org.au. Chris Verno, thank you for your message. That was very, very useful. Fiona, we've got our next guest on the telephone. Who is it?
Hello. Well, welcome, Toby Walsh, Professor of AI Research Group Leader at New South Wales University.
Welcome back.
Welcome back on the program, author and expert on AI. Toby, thanks for coming on to the program and talking to us about, is the federal government doing enough about AI in our lives?
Good morning, Jay.
Now, I know that you have been out and about talking because now the Industry and Science Minister, Ed Husic, has released the government's interim response, a 25-page document, which seems a bit slim, calling for the establishment of an expert advisory committee. Toby, in your point of view, is this how good is this step, or how beneficial is this first step in Australian regulation around AI?
You're right. It is a little light, and also it's a little late. And this is a response to a public consultation which was launched in the middle of last year. There are over 500 submissions, a record number of submissions to that. So no lack of interest from the tech industry, from civil society, from academia in what we need to do in this space. Lots of other countries are pushing ahead much more rapidly than us. And this response, what it says is all very reasonable stuff. But the idea that, a lot of it is talking about voluntary agreements with industry. Mm. I'm not sure that having industry mark their own homework has worked out too well with social media. Mm. We're already starting to see issues arise. I mean, just look at the Taylor Swift debacle of the last few days. I mean, these are the sorts of harms that are arriving very rapidly. And the idea that voluntary safeguards are going to keep us protected, I think, is wishful thinking. And then the other final thing is that they said they recognise that we are going to need some new regulations. There are new harms that these technologies are bringing into our lives, along with all the benefits, of course. But the idea of setting up a committee, that's going to take a while for them to make any recommendations. Compare that to what's happening in Europe. Europe's probably leading the way. They've been working on regulation since 2020. The EU AI Act is putting the final touches to just now. That's still not going to be enforced till next year. So it takes 5 years for these things to happen. So the idea that we're just beginning, and it will be 5 years before we have any regulation.
Because the technology moves so fast that, I mean, I think this is not uncommon in Australia. The technology is moving so quickly that by the time we get to these decisions, it's already going to have to then be reconfigured and reconsidered because the technology will have changed so much. Maybe if you can give our listeners an understanding of, the benefits of AI, to an Australian economy, and also because I know that there's so much good that we should be considering and how we're going to incorporate AI into our lives, or how it is already in our lives.
Yeah, it's worth not forgetting the benefits they're going to be bringing into our lives. And I spent my whole life working on this field because I appreciate the immense benefits. And the government's report lays out some of those. It points out that by the end of this decade, by 2030, it might have added $600 billion to our GDP annually. Mm. Now, to put you in that perspective, that would increase our GDP by 40%. Mm. I don't know of a few other opportunities coming along that are that sort of scale. We're facing immense economic headwinds these days, cost of living crisis and all that. That is a huge, great opportunity. And also, I think it's one of the biggest risks that this report does not address, which is the risk of us missing out. It's hard not to draw a comparison. Mm. The UK government put out a similar report at the end of last year, their response, regulatory response to how they're going to regulate AI. And at the same time, so that they don't miss the opportunity, they announced that they were going to invest another billion pounds on top of the more than billion pounds they've already invested. That is so much greater, 20 times greater than what the Australian government's invested so far.
And it's so interesting. Yeah, it's so interesting too, because Australia, I mean, in a recent poll, Ipsos survey, Australia was the most nervous nation about AI. Apparently 69% of Australians were worried about the use of AI. So if Australians are expressing their concern about AI, is it because they seem to understand that the government isn't doing enough, or is it the government still, are they not hearing people's concerns?
Yes, I mean, it is strange, because normally we're very fast adopters. When smartphones came out, we were the fastest adopting country on the planet per capita. We're very good at adopting technologies. We're very, very fast adopters. But in this case, you know, as you point out, this survey does of 30-odd nations, we were the most nervous. And I think there are reasons to be nervous. There are, you know, along with the benefits that, you know, I hinted at there, there are significant risks. We're starting to see those. The Taylor Swift is an example, but equally, we're going to see this in elections. We saw how social media was weaponized to influence elections, not in a good way. We saw that with the Trump presidency. We saw that with the Brexit vote. And we've already, and now we're about to supercharge that. We're about to take the power of social media to reach into our lives and then generate very personalized, very persuasive content, which is, you know, fake audio, fake video, indistinguishable from the real thing. And we're not used to not believing the things that we see and hear. I mean, my daughter was telling me this just yesterday. She's saying, I saw these pictures of the Eiffel Tower on fire. And she said, and for about an hour, I believed it was true. Then I went and looked at the news, discovered the Eiffel Tower was perfectly fine. So, but the pictures were entirely realistic.
Toby, and we're seeing an awful lot of that on social media. It's Paul here. So what are the implications, Toby, if we don't get behind the investment in AI and start taking a proactive stance? With this technology moving so fast, it's going to take us a long time to play catch up. So what does that mean for Australia as a nation in the AI race?
Yeah, it will leave us behind. It will miss out both the economic opportunity and it will, you know, it's starting to impact upon our politics. We saw in elections at the end of last year in Argentina, Slovakia, deepfakes being released that influenced, you know, commentators of the state, probably influenced the outcome of those elections. And we're going to see that here. We are used to not, you know, we are used to believing the things that we see. There's a little bit of me hopes that social media is just going to get so full of this stuff that we finally realize that social media is just the place to be entertained. And that if we want to find truth, we have to go to the old-fashioned place. We have to go to, you know, the ABC or CNN or whatever it is that we trust to tell us what's true. And that social media is just a place to be amused by, you know, fake pictures of Trump or whatever it is.
Toby, I would love to believe that, but I know that the young people don't even use those websites like the ABC or CNN or News Corp because they don't believe those any more than they believe the next TikTok page.
Well, and also, of course, it's not just in social media. As Toby, as you would know, there were the fake phone calls from Joe Biden in the last couple of weeks where it was an automated Joe Biden's voice that was ringing people randomly.
This is going to be very corrosive to our democracy, to the notion of what's true. I mean, truth is already a bit of a fungible idea, a bit of a contested idea at the moment. If everything we see, I do say now, if it's digital, if it's on digital picture, video, audio, whatever it is, you've got to entertain the idea now it's fake, because the fakes are so good. They're indistinguishable from the real thing. Mm. It's impossible to tell what is true and false. I mean, the good news is that eventually there are technologies that are starting to arrive that will help us do that. Mm. Digital watermarks and labeling. That will help us identify, but that's going to take a while before it's, you know, embedded into our lives
and needs investment.
And in the short term, we're going to have to be, you know, more skeptical as consumers of that information ourselves.
So with the interim report, what is the from the federal government's put out, what's the next steps for that? I mean, the interim report says putting together a committee. Is that kind of it for the moment?
Committee and two other things. One is work with industry on voluntary standards for labeling and watermarking of content. That's going to help with deepfakes. But again, should it be voluntary or should it be? Should we actually come up with some compulsory standards? The EU has made it law that the big media platforms have to identify and label deepfakes. It's not voluntary, it's compulsory if you're a large platform. Because if you think about it, it's not the fakes that are the problem. We've had fakes since, fake photography since we have photography. When photography was invented 100 plus years ago, people quickly started making fake photographs of pictures of fake Victorian fairies and things like this came out very quickly.
The Loch Ness Monster, for example.
The Loch Ness Monster. Yes, the Victorian gentleman started making fake photographs quite quickly. But it's the fact that the platforms put that in front of millions of eyeballs that's the harm. And so we need to hold the platforms a bit more accountable for putting the influence they have. I think we forget. We call it social media, and we focus on the social, forgetting it's media. It's just like, we hold radio stations and newspapers and broadcasters like the ABC to quite high standards. And there are regulatory authorities that penalize them when they don't meet those high standards. But we don't hold social media to the same standards.
I note that a podcast that you were on recently this week, they used AI to create a completely believable introduction that wasn't the real person. That was fascinating.
Yeah, and we're going to be receiving. It's already the case now. I tell people, you need to have, in your family, you need to have a secret question so that you know it's members of your family ringing up. There have been cases in North America where people have been rung up and they thought it was their distressed child who had been kidnapped and they were wanting $1 million. And it turns out it was someone had spoofed their voice. And so you've got to have, the fake question, the secret question that only you and your family know the answer to, so you can verify that voice that sounds like your child is indeed your child.
That's a very good suggestion.
Some sage advice there. Thank you ever so much for joining us, Toby. Fascinating always. Please keep advocating. I think we will be talking about AI a lot in the next coming couple of years as a society. And I think, those people who have said that they are unaware, you say 69% of the people are frightened about AI, it's because they probably don't know enough. And I think getting that information out there, Toby, such as the stuff you're doing, trying to advocate for people to learn, is deeply, deeply needed. And any ministers who are listening to us this morning, Fred Lee, we need to get some investment into this and start thinking about the next 10 years. Doing nothing is not an option.
Thank you, Toby.
My pleasure.
You're on Saturday Magazine with Paul and Fiona. We were talking there with Professor Toby Walsh all about AI. Stay with us. We've got the news coming up.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Picking the right voice for your next project can be the difference between people tuning in or tuning out. So let Joy find the perfect voice for your next project with our incredibly diverse professional voiceover team.
Get access to decades worth of voiceover experience and Joy's professional recording and editing suite for your next project. Head to joy.org.au to find out more and get your brand heard. A Joy Community Service announcement.
There's something seriously empowering about getting involved in community radio. Believe me. So why not sign up for Joy's next radio training course and hone the skills needed to bring your personality to the airwaves? Enrollments are now open for the next radio training course with Joy's most talented broadcasters ready to teach you everything they know. To enroll or find out more info, head to joy.org.au/services. A Joy community service message.
Heart Joy, Heart Radio, turn us on with iHeartRadio today.
Paul and Fiona here on Saturday Magazine, the 27th of January. We've had a message in, Fiona.
We have. Now, thanks, Grant. Grant has sent us a quote from American computer scientist Jaron Lanier, who said, "We must never accept AI as a coherent and legitimate concept. It is no more than a fiction that has overtaken its authors."
Interesting words.
We've had some interesting conversations this morning, Paul.
We have indeed.
To talk about, and I was very excited to put the show together this week because there's so much to do and so much to talk about. And we have a fantastic second hour coming up, so I hope that everyone can stick around around.
So we're going to be talking in the second hour with Emma Dawson, who is from Per Capita, specifically about the Stage 3 tax cuts, really digging a little deeper into that conversation we started with Misha Ketchell this morning. We're going to be talking with Professor Daryl Higgins, director at the ACU, who's done an amazing piece of research into how people identify themselves from a gender point of view. We're also going to be talking to Lucien Tonti about regenerative fashion and seeing how we can try and limit the amount of clothing we're purchasing to try and stop this fast fashion cycle that we've got ourselves into as a populace. And then lastly, we're going to be talking to Cerise Howard with a change of direction, talking MQFF here in Midsummer in Victoria.
We're deep in Midsummer right now, that's for sure.
So well done, Fiona, for a great program. Stay with us. We've got the news with Paul and we'll be back after this.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.